Good afternoon, good evening, Kodesh Tov. Please let me know that you're able to hear me.
Yes.
There's no need to... How are you?
Good, how are you, Hanoch?
Baruch Hashem.
That's good.
We're starting in the new subject, right, of astrology? Is
right.
that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's give it another minute or so.
Okay.
I have a busy night tonight because we also have Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, it's a good day. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these three negative weeks already.
Well, it's only the one day. Then we have the Ari on Monday night also. That's always beneficial.
Yeah, I should do that. I wish I had time for everything.
I understand.
Yeah. It's just a little crazy right now, but I hope to get more things done and stay on the schedule with more classes.
It'll all work out.
Yes, I know. Thank God we have things to do. It's good to be busy with good things.
Okay, let's start. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koa. Ana B'Koa, Gedulat
Yimimcha,
Dati Be'ra. Aleph et Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat.
Kabel Rinat.
Aseinu.
Aseinu.
Aparei.
Aparei.
Kufrei Shayim. Tzadi Tzadi Nun. Na Gibor.
Gibor.
Kor Shei Yifut Ha.
Ha.
The letters of the month still being Tammuz, since the sun hasn't set, is Ha and Tet. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. I'm reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Matot. I'm reading the section number one, the world is maintained by two colors only. And I'm going to read verse 6, which is the last verse in the section. My chesed du bad mikiraka atre ila ein demalka demishmeta Yisrael karala uchaberi tu tested al tenei v'yit banei v'la yishtete chesed me alma v'yishma adikti Yibaneh b'gimolcha Tanenan man v'chatzei Chesed me'alma ishtetzehu Le'alma diatei Ve'alda ketiv Lo tihyeh eshet Eimei ehutza Begin l'mabad chesed im mita v'yitavid binyana v'yitiv olam chesed yibaneh. Come and see, it is written, for I have said, the world is built by chesed. What is chesed? He answers, it is one of the king's eternal sephirot, namely the highest of the lower seven sephirot. The Holy One, blessed be He, named the soul of Israel Chesed, on the condition that it would build Chesed. Thus Chesed will never cease. This is derived from the phrase, is built, which refers to Chesed that will be built. We have therefore learned that He who causes Chesed to cease in the world will perish in the world to come. Hence it is written, the wife of the dead shall not marry abroad to a stranger, in order to do kindness with the dead man, so that he will be built and established. As it is written, the world is built by chesed. The verse is referring to the parasha, or not the parasha, the ritual of chalitza, or the ritual of the marriage to his widow by the brother of the man who died without children. Both actions on both parts, if their consciousness is correct, and please note that if their consciousness is not correct, that they do, God forbid, stop chesed from growing in the world. But if their consciousness is correct, the brother is bringing chesed to his brother by allowing him to be reborn and to be raised, and that soul will reincarnate into the baby that comes from that union. And the wife, of course, is doing chesed by bringing the baby itself. That's what the verse is bringing. The whole section is a very politically incorrect section in a modern world. But we don't have time to go into that tonight. Are there any questions or comments?
No.
Tonight's class is the beginning class of an advanced astrology section. And I have a handout for this class that I will be reading from and adding comments to. It's available on the Yeshem website. I will eventually make it easier to get to, but right now, if you want to open it up, it's at www.yeshem.com/, and it's a rather lengthy name, Kabbalah Advanced Astrology Class 1.htm. There's a hyphen between each of those words and numbers, so I will spell them for you. Kabbalah, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H, hyphen, or dash, advanced, A-D-V-A-N-C-E-D, dash, hyphen, one only. Astrology, A-S-T-R-O-L-O-G-Y, hyphen, class, C-L-A-S-S, hyphen, the number one, don't spell out one, the numeral one, .htm. And I'm getting some static, so I'm going to change the controls, which means that you, in order to ask a question, which you're more than welcome to do, you'll need to press star 6 to open up the control. Although I guess the I'm going to call right back to the conference call. I did something wrong with my phone, and I have a conference, a three-way call going, which isn't necessary. So I'll call you right back.
Okay.
I have returned to the conference call. So I'm starting to read the handout. And the first subject that we're going to be talking about in this advanced class is the history of Hebrew astrology or Jewish astrology.
I'm sorry, Hanukkah, I can't open it. It's yeshem.com/Kabbalah-advanced-astrology-class-1, and that's .htm?
Yes, .htm.
Let me try one more time, because HTM. Okay, yeah, I got it. Thank you.
No problem. The first Hebrew astrologer was Abraham the Patriarch. The Bible itself does not use the names of the Jewish gods. I'm getting the static again, so I'm going to... You'll need to press star 6 to ask a question or make a comment, and please feel free to do so. The Bible itself does not use the names of the Jewish months. This was not used directly by the Jewish religion until the building of the Second Temple, and was not recorded per se until the writing of the Mishnah or the Gemara, but the Mishnah came first in the Talmud, approximately 200 to 600 of the Common Era. Let's understand a little more about that subject. We know, and especially because that is a central aspect of my teaching, names are very important. Names define and tell us, explain the inner essence of a person or a thing or a city or anything that we have given a name. And many of those names were given, in fact, all of those names were given in the Torah when it says Adam named the animals. He also named places and inanimate objects, and many other things, flowers, much more than just the animals. That's according to the Midrash. Now, Abraham lived in the area which we call today Persia or Iran and Iraq. He lived in this area. he related to God in this area, and he became the first astrologer. Whether he was the first astrologer or there were other astrologers in that area, he was the first one to publish a book that has lasted to our days. That book that he published initially, it's called the Sefer Yetzirah, initially consisted of 400 chapters. And it was written as a book of outreach, a book of instruction to the people of his generation that the techniques that they could use in their meditative practices to connect to God and have a personal experience of the God, of God. I teach that because we only have 6 chapters left from that book. But still, the techniques are there, and they're part of the oral tradition and the teachings within the Talmud and the Zohar. And I do teach these techniques in my Sefer Yetzirah class. But each individual person has to do that work themselves, because it's about having an individual experience of the Creator, not a communal experience. But getting back to the concept of the names of the months, or the names of the astrological signs, in the Torah itself, a few of the months, the month of Nisan, the month of Iyar, the first and second month, and the eighth month have names. The eighth month is called the month of the flood, Mabul. The second month is called the month of light, Ziv. The first month, it's called, I believe, the month of Matzot. But for the most part, the majority of the months are just called by number. It says in the seventh month, you'll have a holy convocation. Actually says it twice, once for Rosh Hashanah and once for Yom Kippur. But it doesn't mention the name of Tishrei. And this is true of the other months as well. And the names that are mentioned in the Torah is not the names that we use for the months today. The names that we use today came from this area of the world, which we refer to as the Chaldees, which typically is not translated this way. It's translated as an area. But it really also means a profession of the science of astrologer. A person who is an astrologer is a Chaldee. And what happened on this physical level is the Torah was given, the temple was built, the first temple, but that temple was destroyed and the people went into exile, where they reconnected with the roots that Abraham had brought. And many became astrologers, including Daniel, from the book of Daniel, and his 3 friends. We don't call them prophets, but they were really very wise people. And they connected to the science of astrology again. And when they returned to the land of Israel and rebuilt the temple, they brought with them this knowledge, this wisdom, and the use of the names of the months and the names of the astrological signs. And in Judaism, the names of the month and the astrological signs are all interconnected. month, the Rosh Chodesh of the month starts when the astrological influence of that sign comes into the universe. That's so the physical explanation. Now, the Kabbalists explain that the Torah was given in the Asherite script, in the script that we're used to using, and that Abraham knew these names, and that Abraham received these names from Hashem, but that the Torah, for whatever purpose, did not use that in its writing of the scroll. But this was always known and always utilized, and the science of astrology has been very much part of the Jewish world, the Hebrew world, ever since Abraham. I'm continuing to read from the handout. Abraham wrote a book of outreach to the people of his generation. We discussed it briefly already, the Sefer Yetzirah with the 400 chapters. But I am going to mention to you that, in my opinion, the idea of Abraham's generation applies to every one of his descendants up until our generation. The book of outreach of the Sefer Yetzirah is really a book of outreach from Abraham to you and I, and that is the way I teach it. The rabbis of the Sanhedrin throughout the centuries would teach the techniques hinted at in the Sefer Yetzirah. They called it schools of prophecy. Most people do not realize that it is necessary to learn to be a prophet. Once one learns these techniques, then and only then will Hashem choose those who he wants to be prophets to the generation. These same techniques allow people to experience, to know Hashem in a way that is not available through other techniques. The rabbis of the Second Temple and afterward taught that astrology does not apply to Jewish people. This teaching conceals a spiritual law which we can reveal here. Each person chooses the most appropriate time and place of birth so that they can achieve their tikkun in this lifetime. The astrological influences affect every human being and are used as tools by Hashem to bring each person to situations and conditions that can be used to achieve his or her tikkun. When one uses the Kabbalistic tool called binding by striking or restriction, one can rise above the influence of the astrological influences, which carry with them the elements of judgment, which we don't like. By rising above the astrological influence, we bring mercy into our lives and actually change the movie of our life's karma. An example of this is the story of Abraham. Using his Hebrew astrology, did his personal reading and determined that he would not have children. Yet Hashem showed him how to rise above the astrological influence and achieve the ability to have a son, which was named Isaac. I need to expand upon this paragraph to kind of give you some understanding. It is difficult for a monotheistic religion to accept the concept of astrology. Astrology is a science. It's duplicatable. A reading should be accurate. I'm not talking about a horoscope that you read in the paper that is designed and meant specifically as an entertainment. I'm talking about a true reading of an astrological chart, the moment of birth and the progressive charts and comparative charts. All of these tools are very real and extremely accurate. And what they've determined is the influence of the astrological bodies. The reading is to perceive the astrological influences. The reading doesn't make it happen. The astrological influence occur. And because of that cause and effect, the astrological influence occurring as a spiritual cause, in the physical world, there's an effect. Therefore, there should be no reason for anyone to try and become a better person. And yet that is what monotheistic religions teach, whether it's the Muslim, the Christian, or the Jewish religion. Essentially, it teaches be a moral, good person, improve yourself, and you'll be rewarded. And along comes astrology as a science and says, it doesn't matter what you do. However you change yourself, whatever's meant to be is going to happen. And the learned people, the rabbis, the teachers, the priests, they have great difficulty with that, because how do you answer a parishioner who says, but Rabbi, my astrology chart says I'm going to be wealthy and I'm going to be a good person, so it doesn't matter what I do. That's what's going to happen. So the rabbis have to say we rise above it. But do we truly rise above it? And the answer is, we have been taught techniques by Abraham, by the prophets, by many of our sages. We have been taught techniques that take place on Rosh Chodesh that eliminate or minimize the negative aspect of the astrological influence of a month or of a year or of many other aspects. And we can enhance the positive influences with these same techniques. But we don't truly become protected from those astrological influences. It's part of God's system, and it affects us, it impacts us. But we do have techniques like binding by striking, which we teach in the fifth and sixth classes of the basic course. We do have techniques that allows us to change our movie, in effect, change the astrological influence. Because the new movie has a different set of astrological influences. Now, this is kind of difficult for people to understand. So, just suffice it to say what I've said, and we'll move on. Astrology, until recently, has been part of science. Astronomy and astrology were combined as far as the Middle Ages thought, as part of what Judaism thought, what part of the church thought. All of it was together until recently, the last 500-600 years. There was a change in the church at that point. The church was the predominant authority in the world. People went to their priests in the Catholic Church, and there was no other type of Christianity. But the Protestant Reformation happened, and the Catholic Church's response was to differentiate itself from the new church. Just as Judaism was changed and changed things when the Catholic Church challenged the destruction of the normal belief system at the destruction of the temple. Astrology has always been part of the Hebrew Jewish worldview. There have always been some who perceived as part of the occult system, since it seemed to be a bit magical, and they did not know how it worked. Astrology works for the occult system and the positive system. Also, it is difficult for a religion that teaches you to be better today than you were yesterday to accept that everything is preordained, since there is then no motivation to become better. It is only in the last 50 years that physics has developed the theory of multiple universes that allows for the acceptance of what's preordained, along with improving yourself at the same time, allowing us to understand that this is not mutually exclusive. We all understand the principle of gravity as science perceives it today. Let's put it in Kabbalistic terms. Every aspect of matter, anywhere in the universe, is desiring to connect and unify every other aspect of matter, wherever it might be in the universe. There are forces that pull matter from following that desire. But each aspect of matter tries to unify and come together with every other aspect. Well, how does the universe expand? As I said, there are forces that cause matter to overcome that desire to come together. As such, every aspect of matter is influencing all other aspects of matter. This is the basis of astrology. A horoscope that applies to everyone is for entertainment purposes only, as I've said. It is not an accurate assessment of the astrological influences. Even though these items are to be dismissed as entertainment only, does not mean that there are not waves that influence each person, each group of people, all of humanity, humanity's quantum consciousness, and each other life entity in the universe, along with their groups and nations and quantum consciousness. Gravity is described in physics as a field of energy. Kabbalistically, it's the desire of each piece of matter to come together in unity with every other piece of matter. The horoscope is studying that field, and it has utilized observance of the heavens, the planets and stars in the heavens, and recognize events on Earth that relate to those influences of the stars in heaven, the planets in heaven. This is what astrology is. But it's really just recognizing the influence of every piece of matter on every other piece of matter. Astronomy and astrology have always been considered linked. Until approximately 200 years ago, these were split. Why were they split? Was it an influence of the negative system to lengthen the process? Or was it part of God's plan, or probably both? In the Talmud, the sages were expert astronomers and expert astrologers. The normal human population found these sages frightening in that they could know the influences from the astrology that would impact a person hour by hour, day by day, and therefore their predictions came through accurately. In Tractate Shabbat of the Talmud, page 75a, it says that someone who does not know how to calculate the seasons and the mazalot, astrological influences is what mazalot means. Mazel tov, that we say means good luck, is really talking about positive astrological influences and an expression of the hope and blessing that should happen to that person. We apply the verse from Isaiah. So if somebody does not know how to calculate mazalot and the seasons, the verse from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12 says, "They give no credence to the plan of God and take no note of the work of his hands." Or in other words, we must become aware of the astrological influences to know the plan of God. This, of course, is contrary to most teachings from the modern rabbis, as I've explained what is the basis of that. The modern Orthodox, Reform, conservative rabbis, I don't care what form their Judaism takes, that they study the Talmud academically and not experientially and not intuitively, they will tell you astrology is not for us. And yet, here the Talmud is telling us quite clearly, if you don't study the mazalot, if you can't calculate an astrological chart, if you cannot do a reading, you do not know the plan of God, and you take no note of the work of his hands, which we will come to understand shortly. The nations of old respected the sages of Israel due to their knowledge, their wisdom of the seasons and the mazalot. The government of Rome was actually threatened by the impact of the knowledge of the sages. While the general population applauded and loved our sages due to this same reason, the same wisdom. People liked it because they could plan their life. They got information of what was going to be and how to deal with their issues. The government found it threatening because it wasn't them who could control it. The government of Rome could be said to be jealous of the knowledge of the sages. And that is why the process of taking control of Rome by the Jewish sages, called Christians, manifested so easily. these Christians separated astronomy and astrology. They didn't allow their people to utilize this. It took a few hundred years for that change to grow into the nation of Rome, which is really the nation of Edom. We don't teach this. Our rabbis don't teach it. Nobody truly teaches this for two reasons. The non-Jewish people do not want to admit it because it shows them to be less knowledgeable than the Jewish world. And the Jewish world does not want to reveal it so that the academic world ignores it. Now, why did the Jewish world not want to reveal it? There are very specific reasons. If somebody knows that you're influencing them subconsciously, unconsciously, and your influence is meant to spread over centuries, you don't want to reveal to them that you're doing it. But in the Talmud, there's a statement that says, and there's no reason for this statement to be said. It says that at the time of the destruction of the temple, 100,000 Jewish males were imported and sold as slaves into Rome. The consciousness of Judaism is very much installed and interactive and affected the Christian world. And that's one of the reasons for the constant hatred and anti-Semitism being expressed. There are some deeper spiritual reasons, and then we go over that in our class on anti-Semitism in the basic class. But this is a different, slightly different understanding and perception, and you should be aware of it when you're talking about astrology. Continuing. In the Tractate Shabbat, page 156a in the Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, if a person is born on Sunday, he will be entirely of one type, and there will be no other type within him. Another sage asked, can this be true? That if someone is an evil person born on Sunday, he will not have any good within him? And Rabbi Ashi says, I was born on Sunday and everyone knows I am righteous, thereby implying that it can't be true. But that's not really what Rabbi Ashi is saying, as we will come to understand. Because the Talmud is also a coded, very coded book. What the Talmud is expressing is the concept of unity as it applies to astrology. People born on Sunday, which is Yom Echad, one day is the expression in the Torah, Yom Echad, will express unity by expressing an extreme. The person has free will to become righteous or evil, a rasha. Yet their free will decisions will manifest to the extreme in either direction. That is what the Talmud is saying when it says people born on Sunday will be entirely of one type. This teaching from the Talmud is saying that the energy of the day that someone is born will impact their personality and their character traits. This is why the Kabbalah teaches that the soul picks the time to come to the world astrologically. Since the cause of a particular personality trait cannot be the physical birth on Sunday, but the spiritual birth on Sunday, to allow the astrological influences of Sunday to impact the person's decisions to go in the direction of extreme and unity. Is that clear to all? I'm asking this because it's very important to understand this about Hebrew astrology. So please unmute your phone by pressing star 6 and give me a yes or no.
Yes, it's clear.
Okay.
I think.
Well, it's a difficult concept, but if you ever have questions about it, let me know.
Okay.
Here is what is written on the Hashem website regarding the tikkun of people born on Sunday. Generally, people born on Sunday have a tikkun associated with unification. During their life, they will be presented with opportunities to learn the life lessons of how do I unify people and not cause them to be separated due to my actions. Please note that this is only one of many tikkunim associated with being born on Sunday, and one of many tikkunim associated with the time and place of the birth that soul chose to have happen. Because they choose the time and place of their birth and the family of their birth, because that's the best family and that's the best astrological influences to bring them to the places, times, and opportunities to achieve their tikkun, all aspects of their tikkun. The Gemara continues that a person born on Monday will be a bad-tempered person. This is coming from the idea that the second day is not the first day. Therefore, the energy of the second day has the potential of separation. The Bible says that the waters were divided by a firmament on Monday. This is what is involved with a person being bad-tempered. Here is what is said on the Hashem website. Generally, people born on Monday have a tikkun associated with separation. During their life, they will be presented with opportunities to learn the life lessons of how do I appreciate, honor, and elevate the diversity of life and people around me. Please note that this is only one of many tikkunim associated with being born on Monday. Please do not make the mistake of thinking that the physical birth on Monday makes someone bad-tempered. This is a character trait that is created by the soul and its correction. That is why the soul chose to be born on Monday. Again, I have to ask, do you understand, although I'm going to assume you do. Astrology is an effect, not a cause. Astrology is a tool of the Creator to achieve moving people into situations where their tikkun can be achieved, providing they make the correct decision at that moment. If they make the wrong decision, they will be given another chance. If they achieve their tikkun, then when the astrology would bring them into a situation that gives them that opportunity again, there is another astrological influence that causes this situation to not manifest. It's another way of saying that there's multiple universes, multiple astrological potentials. It is no longer needed because the tikkun has been achieved, so they don't have to go through that experience. as I've written here again, this is the idea of the multiple universes. I'm going to stop here because I don't have time to go through the whole week, which is written out here, and then much more. And we'll pick up from this same location next week. I may cut and paste this into the new page. I have to wait to see how I'm going to do that. But I'm going to stop because I think I've given enough material for you to have the beginning of some understanding of what is Hebrew astrology and how it differentiates itself. Go ahead, Mara. You had a question?
No. Well, I just want to ask, now that we're learning how it is different from modern astrology, so when you, let's say, analyze person's chart, looking at the birthday, you will look at the date and the day of the week and the month, and do you also look at the planets like they do in modern astrology, like where they are and how they influence one another, or it's not usually looked at?
No, it's very much looked at, where the planets are, their locations, and how they interact with each other.
Okay.
Whether the influence becomes strong or weak, all of that is built into the Hebrew chart, which is different than the modern chart.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, no one has programmed the Hebrew chart into a computer, and there's 13 symbols, not two. So it's quite involved, and it uses the Hebrew letters. It uses the tree of life. It's a very complex calculation, and therefore quite accurate. And in truth, I've never seen anybody do a complete chart in the Hebrew manner.
It's a new project for you.
I'm sorry?
Maybe it's a new project for you.
Yes, as soon as I get through with teaching everybody who's willing to learn what I have to teach. That I'll expand my own knowledge in this area. Because I do have
interest.
Yeah,
I'd like to learn it. I'd like to learn it as much as I can. I want to be able to, you know, look at the chart and help to give people guidance. I mean, it's exciting.
Well, the Kabbalah Center has people that are called Hevra, but there are people who have been trained as astrologers. Western astrologers, modern astrologers, and they give astrological readings, and they're quite accurate. And the answer, the reason behind it is it's they've been given some Kabbalah that influences their reading and makes it more accurate. But it's also because they're using these tools of astrological influences in order to enhance their intuition. Mm-hmm. And that's why their reading is so accurate. As someone who reads tarot is using the tool of the tarot cards to enhance their intuition for that reading. And someone who uses moon does the same thing. So in essence, if you don't do a complete Hebrew chart, and nobody I know does it, there is one person in Jerusalem who once a year issues a statement that sometimes is published in one of the Israeli papers and translated into English. He does Jewish astrological charts, but I'm not familiar with his work per se, other than reading a few of his prognostications. So I don't know how he worked per se.
Yeah, I certainly would like to learn how to do that, because I would like to help people with spiritual guidance, dealing not only with their illnesses, but mostly with their soul. you know, tikkun. Right now, I'm just feeling so torn, and it's becoming more and more of a problem for me. As a physician, you know, I'm trained to save people's lives, give them drugs, do this, do that, work on medical problem. Nobody addresses the soul. And the soul has the tikkun. They need to go sometimes through these experiences and illnesses and everything that they're going through. And so, you know, it is a little bit of a conflict for me right now. I'm trying to help my dad with all the medical issues. I understand he's going through his soul evolution and tikkunim. And at some point, I'm going to have to give up medicine and just do the spiritual stuff. Because to give up the spiritual stuff and be the doctor, you know, I've done it for so many years. Right now, it's not working. I'm evolving in a different direction. And so I'm just trying to be patient and not go crazy about it. But I think this will be... I didn't know where to start and how to guide people on it, you know. I can talk about spirituality in general, but the Tikkun HaNefesh chart and then aid it with astrology, I think that would be a good place to start.
Well, the best place to start, and it's inexpensive, there's a modern astrologer who is practicing Buddhist, but he's a Jewish man. His name is Mark Shulman. And he sells a automated, but it's related to your birthday. And it's basically the north node of the moon and the south node of the moon, which are 2 points on the western chart. He indicates that this is information about your previous life and the life lessons to be learned in this life, the soul correction in this life. So for $8, you get a very clear insight into how to put all the individual influences of your life to understand what your tikkunim was in a general way.
Then
when you add the influences of your name and the study of your name, which gives you access to a great amount of information, you'll find that you can really direct somebody specifically, and I'll be happy to share that information of how to do that with you and put you on the path of developing that.
I would love to do that. It just feels like when you're talking about it, I just feel such peace, like it's coming home. That's where I need to concentrate right now. And now that you mention a name, it's kind of a different subject. Now, if I know that in Jewish tradition, when somebody is really sick, sometimes they change Hebrew names.
Very much.
How do people make, or rabbis make decision to advise people when it's appropriate to do it and when it's not? And so I'm thinking about my father. Okay.
I realize that. And I can't answer you what rabbis suggest. I'll tell you what I suggest.
Okay.
What is your father's Hebrew name?
Lazar. Lazar in Yiddish.
Say again?
Lazar. Lazar in Yiddish.
Lazar? Okay.
Lazar.
Okay. And his English name and his Russian name?
Well, we call him Lazar. L-A-Z-A-R. Same thing.
And what name does the family call him, and what name does he use with people outside the family? Meaning, what name does he allow himself to be called?
He goes by Lazar. It's a Russian pronunciation, Lazar. In America, they more pronounce it like Lazar. It's not soft, but that's how he usually goes.
Yeah, no, but it's not that different. So he's basically using the name. So I believe what I'm hearing from you is it's being spelled Lamed Zion Resh, correct?
Right.
Your father's correction Zion Resh is 207. That's a gematria. And that gematria is the same as light, which is spirituality. The Lamed means to teach. Your father should be teaching spirituality, and when he's not, that's an aspect of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know your father. I don't know if that's his orientation, if he's, you know.
He's a teacher, but he's a teacher of math. He's very analytical, very smart man. He doesn't teach spirituality. I mean, he does have some of his practices. He goes to shul, usually on Shabbat, but he's not, you know, fully observant in all the mitzvot.
I don't teach people to be observant, you know. God doesn't care what you pray three times a day. What God cares about is that you treat people properly and that you do the work you're supposed to do. So I would go and get that chart from Martin Chulman's website for $8.
Okay.
And then see what that's saying, and then I would give you some advice about whether to change his name or not. But if he doesn't change himself, changing the name is a stopgap name.
Yeah.
And really, what is his attitude? Is he truly fighting it, or is he accepting what doctors say?
Well, I think he's in good spirits right now. He's going to doctors and getting tests done. So far, kids didn't show major meds. A couple of lymph nodes next to the stomach. And hopefully it just looks like superficial ulceration, and if they can get part of the stomach out, hopefully he'll be okay. The problem is he has bad kidneys and his heart disease, so it's to go through surgery and all that. But he wants to work on it. I gave my mom a big old prayer over the phone. I told him, give it to him to read it twice
and
a day.
Also scanning of the daily Zohar is very important.
Yeah. We don't have internet, so I have to try and ask my brother to get it set up for him. I mean, he's very sweet, man. He's very kind.
Your brother can get it. You can get it and print it out and mail it to him every day. It doesn't have to be on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll work on it.
Yep.
He's very emotional. That's the problem.
Oh, it doesn't have to be the blockage.
Internet. Okay. He's not handling emotions well. He tends to get angry and he comes down. He's a very sweet man. And I think something triggered 6 months ago. I didn't know that. My sister-in-law came and she was yelling and screaming. I don't know what the idea was. And then I knew about it and, you know, I didn't hear anything about it since January. And now that he's diagnosed with the illness, my mother said, you know, she didn't talk to them for like 6 months. I'm sure he was probably brewing his anger, and he doesn't express it well. He doesn't go to therapy or anything. He's probably just hurting himself with all his emotions. And it's kind of hard to teach them all in the, you know, 80-some years old, and changing their personalities and learning how to deal with all that when there's enough stress going on right now. But just to try to teach him to stay calm and not to overreact, it's kind of hard right now. So I'm going to try and talk to my mom so she can maybe try and help him. She's also very reactive, you know. It's a state of the kind of personality, you know. Very kind of straightforward people, and they say what they mean, and, you know, they never play games. They're very honest, you know. They don't like people who are lying, who are disrespectful, and so, they're having issues about my sister-in-law sometimes, but after 30 years, they're still having issues, but, you know, he needs to take care of himself, so I'm going to try to call him every day and encourage him. So I think he's a good spirit. I think he wants to do it, but he is nervous about it. You know. My mom's like, he's like anxious. And
you'll get a lot of information from that report.
perturbed. Yeah, I'll try to do it. He's not sure about his birthday. We celebrate on July 3rd, but he thinks it was Tammuz 20th when he was born. So I have to find what it was in 1929 and what day of the week it was. And what.
More than likely, the 25th or July 3rd is the same. It's the same north and south node. The north and
okay.
south node, an 18-year cycle, 18-month cycle.
Yeah.
And then things right in the middle are more than likely together.
It's about the same. Okay. Year is wrong. They had to write change the first date, so he won't be drafted in the war when he was like 16. So she told him that he was 2 years younger, but you know, we know the real year. We have to look at the chart. So I'll start with the chart and I'll try to work on it. I'll talk to you next time when I get it. I'm just dealing with so much of everything going on. I feel sick myself. I couldn't sleep last night. I had to stay home today just to rest. I have to take one day at a time. This is a really difficult time right now. I hear what you're saying about 3 weeks. not an easy time.
It's a difficult time for all.
Yeah. So, Rosh Chodesh tonight is at 10 o'clock.
It's at 9 o'clock. Your time.
9 o'clock, okay, good. So I'll try to stay awake. Because it's important, I really like it. Last time we did it, it was good. Good experience.
Yes.
Helps a lot of astrology, too. we'll probably talk about it in the recording, I don't know, because I'm thinking about high holidays coming up in September. Is there something special we need to do in the month of Av? To prepare us for Tishrei, which is started when the Tishrei starts.
Yes, we'll talk about it during Rosh Chodesh.
We'll talk about it. Okay. Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited we're starting this astrology class. I really like that.
Okay,
I email you. Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you. I mean, later tonight.
Yes.
9 o'clock. Okay.